My name is Jerry, and this is the Wild Eye Podcast. Wildlife photography and AI. Hello, everybody. So let's just get straight into it. Do you use AI in your wildlife photography workflow? Now, I think for a majority of you, you might immediately think, no, I'm not going to do that because the machines are going to take over and I'm still a photographer on my own and I do my own thing. Now, where this thought came from is a couple of days ago, I was speaking to someone and she asked me how many competitions, photography competitions, allow AI. So I said, well, it depends. You need to check what the competition is, what the rules are, but we also need to very clearly define what AI is. So in the past, from a competition point of view, the biggest thing with cloning and healing and those kind of things, which would be old school AI kind of thing, would be you weren't allowed to change the content in the frame. So if you look through my camera, me looking at a scene, I'd make an image, I show you the image. I couldn't add anything that wasn't in my viewfinder that I saw. Make sense, right? So if you removed a cloud or you added a tree or you cloned another stripe on the zebra, that would be changing reality in the old days. So for example, in the old days, I would remove a dust spot, but the dust spot was a part of the camera. It wasn't a part of the scene. So there I could remove the dust spot because it wasn't a part of the polar bear scene that I'm photographing, or it wasn't a part of the migration scene, right? But if I remove anything that was in that scene, that's when most photography competitions said, hey, listen, you need to stop. This is not cool. But let's go back to the first question. How many of you are using AI in your images? So if you're saying no to yourself, let me ask you this then. Have you used masking in Lightroom? There's AI involved there. How do you think Lightroom so cleverly finds the zebra in the landscape and makes it red as a mask? Adjust sky. So yes, it's advanced dodging and burning. I get it. But there's still AI algorithms that help you to figure that out. How many of you have used the denoise function in Lightroom, the newest one? It is so good. It is so, so good. And it's just getting better every time. That's AI, right? That is AI. It's not some magical thing. It's literally AI. It uses a neural network that's been trained on millions of images to predict what fur or feathers might look like. And then it redraws the fine detail by removing everything else. That is AI. Masking as well, like we said, right? The computer uses, it's delegating the most critical part of your editing of the selection tool to an AI, right? So you're there. What about lens blur? It is a phenomenally powerful visual tool at the bottom of your Lightroom develop panel. And what it does is it calculates based on what's sharp and what's not that it's going to blur the background, right? Now, it's a huge talking point because people are like, well, why should I buy a 2.8 if I can shoot 5.6 and then I just use lens blur? Right? So, but what it does, it calculates your a depth map, so to speak, using AI, and then it simulates bokeh. It's physically altering the optics of the shot after the fact. That is AI. What about topaz, right? Denoise and topaz sharpen, or the latest one, photo AI, right? It doesn't just do sharpening. It recovers faces and textures. If the eye of a leopard was, for example, slightly out of focus and topaz fixes it, the eye is now partially a computer's hallucination of a leopard eye. Hallucination is when AI does its thing, right? We can get down into that. So if you use denoise in Lightroom, masking in Lightroom, lens blur in Lightroom, or photo AI, you are using AI in your photography, right? Now, I've had this conversation with a couple of people where I think that even now that AI wildlife images, we can talk about videos in a sec, but AI wildlife images is going to eat up entry-level pure wildlife photography. So if we look at all the images that get shared out in the world, and you've got basic entry-level, like I take Aunt Betty to the Kruger. I give her a camera. She takes a couple of shots. That stuff that she's making, AI will eat up. It already is, right? And I think the question is, are those images that AI is creating good enough, in inverted commas, right? For people who are running a travel blog or a generic safari brochure, an AI-generated line is good enough and it costs zero, right? It's funny, just in this week, I must have had about seven, I don't know why, tour operators from East Africa message me and say, hey, come on a trip or do this. And they use this. I've seen it. They steal images and they use AI to make it, right? So what do we do here? Like if I suppose the easiest answer would be for me to say, hey, you need to get better at your images, at your post-processing, in order to create images that are so unique that AI cannot, for now at least, because it will, create the same thing. So it's difficult because it's there's a value shift here where a lot of photographers are going to stop selling images and they're going to start selling the story of the capture, which speaks to experience, right? It speaks to experience. So one of the tricks, and I've mentioned this to a few people, is in your caption, because captions are important still on Instagram. Instagram as a platform, we can discuss in future, but for now, it's still a thing. Is in your caption, what is the one thing that AI cannot do? You can say to AI, right, create me an amazing image of the Mara Triangle up on the hill close to the Ololoi Escarpment with a beautiful tree in the background, that typical African umbrella-looking tree with a giraffe silhouette under it and the sun straight behind it. I can do that, right? And it'll produce something that is pretty fucking amazing that most people will look at and think, wow, that's Africa, right? It'll look like an image. Your prompt will determine. Are you saying high D HD quality, Nat Geo style, blah, blah, blah in your prompt? But it'll spit out a pretty decent wildlife image. You can even ask it then to do the caption. And it'll say the Mara Triangle, and it'll get all gushy depending on what you ask it. The Mara Triangle is amazing. People cry when they come here. It's one of the best places in the world. You get scenes like this, and giraffes live for 45 years, right? So that, as an easy barrier, and this is an advice for you, a tip if you will, if you're posting on Instagram, in your caption, mention, I made this image in 2017 when I traveled with WildEye, for example, to the Mara Triangle. I remember it like yesterday. It was early morning, it was a chill in the air, and that's when we saw the scene. AI cannot do that. AI cannot say at this stage that I was there and I made the shot and it was cold outside. Look, until Elon Musk gets these, what's these robot things? Optimus up and running and they plug AI into that, then yes, you might be on safari with a robot. But for now, your differentiating factor, the human element, is it's the new luxury, right? And in your captions alone, you can start defining your work as not that, right? I also think in a world of perfect AI-generated images, because everything is perfect, it's fake, but it's perfect, right? It's too perfect. I believe imperfection and effort is going to become the new premium. Did you go the distance, right? And again, AI can generate the visual of a lion, but it cannot generate the 4 a.m. wake up call, the smell of the bush, the coffee around the fire, or sitting in the rain waiting for a shot. Sorry, but it cannot do that yet, right? So let's actually make a list of this. So the human element is the new luxury. So I would say the wind on your face argument, let's call it that, is AI can't do that. It cannot say it did it because it's lying then, and I don't think it's allowed to do that. Different discussion. Second of all is proof of presence, right? Captions, like I mentioned, are becoming proof of work, right? Sharing a raw file before or a behind-the-scene video of you taking the shot is becoming a way to maintain, let's call it street cred in the wildlife photography community. You're really doing this, right? And then it comes to things like the competition ethics. Like most major competitions, like, I don't know, Wildlife Photographer of the Year, they still require your raw file, right? So if they look at the raw file and then your final entry, if your denoise or generative fill or masking has altered the fundamental geometry or the reality of the scene, you're disqualified. Right? So the fine line would probably be, and I'm just kind of surmising here, is did you use AI to clean up the image, which is allowed, or to change the story? It's pretty, I think for me, it's as binary as that. Did you use it just to clean it up and to do things like localized dodging and burning, which we could do in the film days, right? Or did you change the story? So I've had people in the past on safaris worrying about this. Like, oh my God, should I still be a photographer if all this digital art and AI and whatever comes along? Well, yes. It depends on why you're doing it. If you're doing it for the experience, the wind on your face, the coffee around the fire, the smell of the bush, the rain, trying to keep your camera dry while you're photographing a lion waiting for it to shake, yes, you should. Right? If you are so concerned about new technology coming in that's going to eat up our industry, right, then one of two things, either stop or embrace it. So I follow, and as I mentioned this, I couldn't remember the guy's name, but I follow a guy on Instagram. DM me if you want me to find it and send it to you on Instagram, Jerry van der Walt. He uses AI, very advanced models, to create some of the most incredible wildlife digital art. It's not photography, digital art. He openly mentions that he uses his photography as well as AI and very advanced models in order to create these artworks. He's not saying it's photography only. He's saying it is digital art. So you just have to trust yourself that if you say you're a photographer, be okay with that. And use AI up until a point where you feel your own personal ethics and integrity gets compromised. Right? So my goal, my North Star always with photography is I want to make an image that if you stood next to me when I made it, that's what you would have seen. Right? That's what it would have seen. So I don't change things, remove things, take grass out, whatever. Dust spots, yes. I do dodging and burning, yes. I denoise from an image quality point of view, but I do not change the essence of the image. And that's for you to decide. If you want to, there's nothing wrong. You don't have to have an existential breakdown about, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Am I a photographer? What is going to happen? Should I take up gardening? No. Just decide. If you want to use it, use it. It's pretty fun. Not going to lie to you. I've been on Photoshop a couple of times and you have an image and then you expand the frame. So you crop and you go bigger and you say generative fill, expand the background. Guys, it is insane what this thing can do. Right? It is mad how good it is with people, with wildlife, with everything. But if I were to do that, I would say so. I use generative fill in Photoshop to expand the frame because, and here's my reasoning, because as a photographer, I would have liked a bit more negative space on that side. I couldn't get in the field because of X, Y, and Z reason, but now I've followed up my initial creative vision and that's the final artwork, not photograph, artwork that I saw. Nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but you need to decide for yourself, right? And I think the question you maybe ask yourself is, for you, where do you draw the line? At what point does a photo stop being a photo? If you use AI denoise, sharpen, sky enhancement, is it still yours? Well, yes, but it's not a photograph, right? Now, if a machine, AI, can take a pretty good photo or make a pretty good photo, humans have to take extraordinary photos. And I still think we can think out the box, and this is probably so, it's probably changing as I speak, but I still think humans can creatively think out of the box better than AI. It'll change. It's probably changing as we speak again, right? But find different angles, behavior, lighting, that an AI prompt engineer wouldn't even think of. Right? So you have someone sitting behind a computer telling it, okay, create an image of a portrait of a lion. Okay, create the image of a polar bear jumping on the back of a beluga. Right? It's very linear. It's very basic. And I think that is where we still win. Your creative interpretation, your understanding of animal behavior. Right? If you are, let's say I take one of the wild eye guides and I make them a prompt engineer, they could probably create some pretty shit hot stuff by prompting deep and getting that done. Right? But for most of the time now, we still have that. We've got the incentive to be better, to try different things. Right? on a separate thought, I think AI-generated wildlife can potentially hurt conservation by spreading misinformation, right? You start putting, I don't know, I almost said tigers in Africa, but there is that Tiger Canyon place. But if you start doing that and you're blurring, like here's a lion fighting with a tiger, it looks like a real image, but it's not. We're blurring lines there, I think. Yeah? So is it necessary for us maybe to look at something like a nutritional label for photos? For example, 10% AI used for noise reduction, zero generative fill. Try that again. 10% AI used for noise reduction, zero generative fill, 10% lens blur, so that people know what they're dealing with. You see, it's such a fine line that's blurring, and it's blurring as we speak, right? So I did a bit of looking around online, and I saw one or two websites, photographers. It was one US, one Canada-based, and they had a photography ethics statement on their website. Now, what would that be? Like, it could be something like, in a world of generative AI, I believe the value of a photograph is rooted in the lived experience of the photographer. My work is a record of time spent in the wild, not a prompt entered into a machine. Enhancement, not creation. I use AI-powered tools, such as noise reduction and subject masking, to clarify the vision I captured in camera. I do not use generative fill to add animals, remove major landscape features, or alter the fundamental reality of the scene. The human element. Every image I share represents a real moment where I was physically present, feeling the wind, tracking the movement, and witnessing the behavior. Transparency. If an image has been significantly altered beyond standard darkroom techniques, I will disclose it. My goal is to honor the animal and the environment as they truly are. So that would be a commitment to authentic wildlife photography. If any of you want that text, drop me a message on Instagram, Jerry Van Vault, or jerry@wildeye.com, and I will send it to you. You can panel beat it to your own. Maybe that's the way it's going. Maybe anybody that has a website now has to put that up, right? How much AI should you use? How much shouldn't you use? Again, it depends on you. How much push-up should you do? How much? It's what's your goal? What do you want to create here? So I still think, for me, right now, the easiest differentiator, without getting too technical, is that idea of the lived experience. Like, I was there. I felt the wind. I smelt the wild dogs when they ran past. AI cannot do that. And I think of all the things we've spoken about, that's probably the thing that's going to last the longest before AI eats it up. And maybe looking back, I mean, kind of wrapping this up, is if you look at your own work, maybe an incentive to get better, an incentive to improve your creative vision, an incentive to make better work, an incentive to do those things, is that if you don't, the images you put out will be eaten up by AI, that entry-level stuff. Be better. Create better human understanding of animal behavior, better descriptions of I was there. I think it's a big deal. And I know that if we had to have this conversation next week, a month from now, 6 months from now, things will change again. If you look at some of the videos, that there's that new video platform that just came out of China, what is it called? C-Dance or something like that. C-Dance 2.0, I think. Under correction there. But the video clips that thing is producing is stupid. Right? They're blending different movies like Marvel Avengers fights Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. And I know it's fake. I look at it and I think, damn, that's good. So it's an interesting time we're living through. I do think, though, it's important for you to understand your why. And I've mentioned this in a couple of presentations over the last few years. What is your photographic why? Why are you doing it? It should be based on the experience. It should be fun. It should be exciting to go back to Africa, to go back to Svalbard, back to Borneo, and to do this photography thing. Interesting discussion. Love to hear your thoughts. So drop me a mail, Jerry, Gerry, at wildeye.com. That's wild-eye.com. And tell me, do you use AI? Do you think it's the devil? Are you suffering from an existential crisis thinking, I don't know what to do? Well, that's easy. Make a decision, right? Either be a photographer or be a digital artist. Are you unsure? Do you not know where to start? Drop me a message or hit me up on Jerry Fennevold and on Instagram. And also, if you're posting online and you start looking at that caption change, highly recommend it, right? Highly. Where the first part of your caption is, I shot this when I was in. I remember this cold day in Iceland when I stood at the waterfall, whatever it is. Make it very human, something AI cannot do. Tag me in it, please. Let me see. I'd love to see it. Anyway, I love this stuff. The AI use, where it's all going, I think it's fucking scary. Not going to lie to you. There's some interesting, roadblocks, stumbling blocks, challenges we're going to have to navigate as a community and as a society. But from a creative point of view, it's interesting and exciting and kind of confusing times. Anyway, if you're still listening, guys, thank you for listening to me carrying on about AI. Love to hear your thoughts. Get in touch. And I'll chat to you in the next episode. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for lending me your ears. My name is Jerry. I'm from Wild Eye. Bye for now.